This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Please, one more round of applause for Mr. Tayo. Thank you so much. That was really thought-provoking. So you've heard, oh, please don't forward WhatsApp to us again and say Nigeria is burning, right? Don't curse us, right? And we who are here will not curse ourselves, okay? Our next speaker is Bonale Austin Peters. Bonale Austin Peters is a visionary lawyer and celebrated stage and movie director and producer. She's been featured by Forbes 3 times as one of the leading women in Africa and hailed by CNN as the woman powering theater in Nigeria. She has received over 50 awards for her outstanding contributions to the arts. Bonale is the founder of Terra Culture, a world-class destination that showcases the richness and diversity of Nigerian arts and culture. She is also the creative force behind Bonale Austin Peters Productions, which has produced critically acclaimed plays that have captivated audiences across 3 continents. Some of her notable works include Saro the Musical, Fela and the Calakuta Queens, Death and the King's Horseman, and many more which are yet to be released. As a filmmaker, she has also produced and directed some of the most successful and award-winning movies in Nigeria, such as 93 Days, The Blink Lagosians, Collision Course, Man of God, and several others. She's a passionate advocate for youth empowerment and education. In partnership with MasterCard Foundation, she founded Terra Academy for the Arts, which provides free training for young people in various aspects of theater production, including lighting, set design, and sound design. The Academy has graduated over 7,000 young adults with valuable skills. She's a sought-after public speaker who inspires others with her insights and experiences. Please join me as we welcome to the platform once again, Mrs. Bonale Austin Peters.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here today. Pastor Kwaju, thank you for always inviting me. This is the 4th time, I think, of being here. like Vusi said, hopefully I'll be able to live up to the expectations. Mrs. Sonia Yemade, thank you so much. The Covenant family, thank you guys for always having us. And Nigerians, today I'll be talking about Africa Rising. And I'll be looking at it from the perspective of the creatives. And this is a very interesting conversation for me because Africa is a continent of paradoxes. And I'll explain why. Because if you look at Nigeria today, there's a lot to celebrate and there's a lot for us to want to fix. I'll be using the United Arab Emirates, although not in Africa, and Nigeria as comparison for where we should be headed as a people. You know, recently, as a fellow of MIT, I got the opportunity to go on a leadership course that took me to different countries around the world. And in the course of that journey, we started understanding why certain ecosystems work and some work. During that journey, we went to the Grand Mosque in Abu Dhabi. And to my surprise, I was told that prayers are being said 365 days of the year, 7 days a week, for the founder of the United Arab Emirates. His Excellency Sheikh Sultan Abnayan. And it will appear shocking to you and I that why are people praying for somebody 7 days a week, 365 days of the year? But for those who understand that in less than 60 years, this man has been able to transform the destiny of his people and a nation from being a rural, backward country to become an advanced economy, a business destination, and a tourist haven. And we all try to get to Dubai every time for a holiday. In our eyes, this country was developed the same time, round about the same time, Nigeria got its independence. So the question is, how did they do it? And why are we not able to do it in Africa, especially Nigeria? And the more I thought about it, some people have alluded to it today, from education to vision to choice. Bottom line is vision. These people have a vision for their countries. It happened in Singapore, it's happening in Rwanda, and it's happened, like we said, in the UAE. What is the vision? Mr. Adelie mentioned it earlier. What is Nigeria's vision? As I traveled around UAE, I found that quotation on the wall. And this is what their vision is. He had expressed it also earlier, Mr. Adelie, that Nigeria has a lot of visions. We've heard Vision 2020, Vision this, Vision that. But in reality, can we articulate our vision as a people? Most of us can't. We don't even know what we stand for as a people. So on this board, it's clearly written what their vision is for their country. It says, we are building a new reality for our people, a new future for our children, and a new model of development. Today, this vision has become a reality. If you look at the Emiratis, they're educated, they're proud, they're living in wealth, they have confidence, they've invested in education, their infrastructure is second to none, they have created a new model of development for their people. And the truth is, the Bible tells us, even without vision, nobody really will stand. So, in addition to realizing the vision is critical, the MIT looked at certain factors that make countries succeed or thrive. And those five factors, some of them have been mentioned today, but I'll focus on three. Government is critical, universities are critical, entrepreneurs are critical, risk capital is critical, and also corporates are critical. Everybody needs to come together to forge the destiny of a nation. It's not just one person that will do it. So if we look at government, we all know that government is the foundation of development in any country. And really, the role of government is to provide peace and security and to give us an enabling environment that we all can thrive in. So what did they do in the UAE? They focused. They focused on getting government right. They decided that government must become like private sector. Government in the UAE today has become so effective that it operates even better than the private sector today. If we look around us in Nigeria today, how effective is governance in Nigeria? Having focused on that, they introduced something called an accelerator program, whereby business has to be turned around within 24 hours, anything that you're doing. It became so successful that they have exported it to other countries around the world, like Uzbekistan, etc. So having fixed governance, we cannot make progress if government is not fixed, no matter what we say. Government has to be efficient and effective to give us the environment that we all need to succeed in. They now readdressed their economy as a people. If we all know what the UAE stands for, we know that they're about oil wealth. But this wasn't enough for them. They looked around the world and asked themselves a question. The biggest corporations today in the world are all based on knowledge and innovation. So they changed their strategy. They have become focused now on innovation and knowledge acquisition. The UAE is no longer an oil-focused country. They are focused on innovation and knowledge acquisition. They have developed a mantra that says that if the future belongs to those who can imagine it, design it, and execute it. So the future is no longer about what you have in the ground or what Nigeria has as natural resources. It is about what our imagination can give to us as a people and our ability to implement that, to design it, and to bring it to fruition. And that is what is driving the rest of the world today. To back this up, they created a fund. 1% of all government revenue goes to support public innovation, which means that if you have an idea, they will support you with space, they will support you with funding, and you are allowed to thrive. I visited so many innovations, tech hubs, SMEs, so many incredible innovations being developed in this country because they have moved past the realm of we've discovered oil. They're in the realm of what are you thinking in your head and how are you able to make that a reality? That is where the rest of the world is. So today, if UAE can move away from oil wealth, what are we doing as Nigeria? The last presentation that I had here a couple of years ago, I had talked about the potential of the creative industry to transform Nigeria's wealth economy. And in less than 5 years, the reality before us is that it is technology, creativity, and the arts that is putting Nigeria on the global stage. Please correct me if I'm wrong. It is our technology, our youth, in technology, in arts, in every form of creativity that is selling the Nigerian brand today. Let's take an example of Rema. I'm sure we all know Rema, the artist who sang Baby Calm Down. He single-handedly has become Nigeria's biggest brand ambassador. This summer, from Tel Aviv to Prague to Mumbai, everybody was singing his song in Nigerian pidgin and dancing to the lyrics of his song. Talk about selling Nigeria. In fact, I remember 13 years ago, I had a party and I invited More Hits Crew. I'm sure some of you know them. They came with 4 artists, Wizkid, Ice Prince, and there's another one of them, Wande Cole, and one more person. Guess how much I paid 13 years ago? 250,000 naira for all of them. 250,000 naira. Today, I dare not even ask that they come and play for me. The beauty of our youth is that they had been able to transform their talent into wealth. And that is something that is commendable and that we all need to start understanding. We'll bring it closer to home, Hollywood. This is an area that I operate in now. A couple of years ago, everybody talked about Nigerian movies. Everybody, we were all snobs. But some people built that industry. Some people put labor and love to sustain that industry. Today, in less than 3 years of me operating in that space, Nigerian movies that were being acquired for peanuts is being acquired now for millions of dollars. So if we're talking about generating wealth for our economy or for our country, you have it right there in front of you. The creative industry today is attracting global platforms such as Netflix, Amazon, Sony, Paramount. Everybody is coming to Nigeria. Please, why are they coming? They see something that we in Nigeria are not seeing. They see something our government is not seeing. That this is where the gem is. These children are the ones that have the ability to transform this economy. I said it 10 years ago, I'm saying it again. This is where the money is at. Nigeria needs to invest more in the creative space for us to move on. And earlier on, Dr. Mo had said something about education. Moving around again, we found out that academia, education, is the future of the world. Education, 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 we cannot avoid it. Today, if you look at what they're doing there, they have keyed into the fourth industrial revolution. Do you know what that is based on? They have a vision that by 2031, they'll have sorted out their artificial intelligence plans. They have actually created a ministry of artificial intelligence. They have actually assigned this ministry to work directly with the Executive Council of Governors. Today in Nigeria, what are we talking about? How are our schools equipped? Our children today, a lot are fleeing. The gentleman mentioned it earlier, Japa. Why? Because of the quality of the education that some of them are seeking to have, not because they want to leave Nigeria. Some of us, sadly, we know that our children have left this country and have become Nigerian Americans, Nigerian British, and whatever permutation we want to give it. The sad reality is that some of us, our grandchildren, are never going to come back. That is the legacy that we're bequeathing to our children. They're forced to leave this country, not because they choose to, but in search of better life and better education. How unconscionable is that? So as a people, we have to understand that education is the only way forward. Government has to budget and fund our institutions. And it's mostly the public institutions. A lot of people that I know, we all went to public schools. Today, I visited universities in Nigeria, and I wept looking at the conditions under which our children are being educated. Paradoxically, because I told you that Africa is a story of paradoxes, in spite of all the dwindling standards that we talk about, some private universities are doing great work. If we look at the Covenant University in the area of technology, if you look at Abuad Afe Babalola University, my father's university, they're doing great work in the area of medicine and law. So, ladies and gentlemen, just imagine. Imagine if only we could invest a little bit more. If people are coming to Nigeria today, the UK took 13,609 health workers from Nigeria in 1 year. Imagine if we provided them with the right infrastructure to live and to practice their trade. Nigeria will be the better for it. In fact, if you look at what is going on in our talent space, the Western countries have developed something called global talent visas. What is this about? Young Nigerians, if we don't appreciate their talent, they appreciate it. So they're giving them visas to go to London, to go to America, visa free, because they see what we are not seeing. Our children are the ones that will go and build their industries for them, and we educated them in Nigeria. So our vision must be to create a new future for our children, so that our children will not leave Nigeria if they do not want to leave Nigeria, and they can fulfill their dreams whilst they are here in this nation. In the creative sector, we are doing a lot with Terra Academy for the Arts, and this is funded by MasterCard Foundation. Today, we have trained 13,000 young people. 13,000. Out of these 13,000 young people that have been trained, only 2,000 have found work. Only 2,000. What do we think is going to happen to the remaining 11,000? They will jackpot. Simple. Because they can't continue to live like this. In ensuring that their vision comes to fruition in the UAE, something they also did was they focused on entrepreneurs. And I'm an entrepreneur. And so many SMEs in Nigeria also. We are the bedrock of this society. We're the ones that are creating the jobs. Government cannot create all the work we need in Nigeria. The Fortune 500 companies cannot create the jobs. We are the bedrock of the economics of this country. But if you look at what is happening today in Nigeria, I was speaking to the good Mr. Oyedele earlier as well. It is painful to be an entrepreneur. It hurts. Sometimes I ask myself, why am I doing it? Taxation. We're given multiple taxation. We were counting the number of taxation. We are taxed in Terra Culture. At least 15 different taxes. For what? What are we making? Infrastructure deficits. We're in charge of electricity. I'm a mini local government. I do my own electricity, my own water. The roads to Terra Culture is not fixed. You are the one in charge of your security. Potholes all over the place. So the question is, I'm willing to pay tax, but let us see what the tax is being used for heaven's sakes. So if entrepreneurs are being frustrated, whereas in other countries, entrepreneurs are being encouraged. They give them free spaces, tax rebates. In fact, if you invest in an entrepreneur in the UAE, you get 1 year tax reduction. Spaces are given. If you go to Sharjah, they're focused primarily on just ensuring that SMEs survive. Nigeria is tough. It hurts. But we're committed to doing it. But can they lighten the burden on us? Without entrepreneurs, it's difficult to grow this country. And we must recognize that this is something that needs to be done. So, there are other stakeholders that we need. But for the sake of time, risk capital and corporates. To my mind, risk capital will come into a country if everything works. Investments will pour into Nigeria if Nigeria works. It's very difficult for people to find investors. In fact, in the creative industry, it's almost impossible. If you imagine that in the rest of the world, intellectual property has been collateralized. You can use your idea to borrow money because IP, idea, is gold. But we still don't get it. We only give money to oil companies and all sorts of shelf companies. The creative industry requires a creative approach to its funding. Banks have to start understanding that they need to prop this area of our lives up for us to be able to create the jobs that we need for our children. Which brings me back to the paradox of Nigeria that I had mentioned, and the paradox of Africa, as a matter of fact. You know, the story about Africa Rising has become really, really sexy and funky. Everybody says, oh, Africa Rising, 2011, The Economist said Africa Rising, 2012, The Time Magazine. And then in 2013, they also said Africa is the hopeful continent. And it triggered something in me. If we're truly the continent of hope, how come we are disillusioned? So one day, as I was traveling from Dubai, going to Abu Dhabi, I was looking out of the window and I started crying. I wept like a baby. As I looked at the countryside, the greenery, the landscaping, the man-made, the artificial lakes, the beautiful infrastructure, the architectural wonders that they have been able to put together in less than 60 years. My colleagues wondered what was wrong with me, but it was because inside of me, I recognized that there is hope. There is hope for Nigeria. You know why? If one person or a group of people could have that vision in the UAE and they have created what they have created, there is hope for Nigeria. Like was mentioned earlier, we can change Nigeria's narrative, and it requires each and every one of us to be involved. From government to entrepreneurs to investors to so many parties, education, we need to ensure that Nigeria comes together and rises again. So, to change our narrative, I believe that what we need is within each and every one of us in this room. I think that Africa has been so bashed over the last couple of centuries and decades, from slave trade, colonialism, you know, the 1886 Berlin Conference, the partition of Africa. We've been through a lot. But that's not to say that we have to sit back and keep staying on that. We have to move forward as a people. If Rwanda, in 1984, I remember living in Geneva, when the Rwandans used to come in as refugees. If Rwanda can do it with the vision of one person, Nigeria can do it. Nigeria can do it, and Africa can do it. So we need to change our narrative about ourselves. We need to begin to remind ourselves of who we are as a people. Who are we? Do we even know who we are anymore? We've lost so much confidence that the world tells us what they want us to be and who we need to be. We need to go back to our history books. In Nigeria, they banned history for a while. How? How do you know where you're going when you don't know where you're coming from? How is that possible? I know that from my movies and from the literature that I was taught when I was in school, that we are kings and queens who lived in kingdoms before the white man came. We are the people who developed the first form of writing, the hieroglyphics that they call emoticons today. We, Africans, are the ones who created those great walls of Benin Empire. We are the same people who created the knock art and the Benin bronzes that they have exported out of Africa today. We are the same people who perform surgical operations using herbalists, what they call herbalists today, using herbs to cure medicine. Our forefathers were great intellectuals who ruled Timbuktu, who did the trans-Saharan trade route. We had trade going on amongst ourselves without these artificial borders. Our great-grandfathers were the ones who taught us history about ourselves, and we need to teach our children about who they are. If we begin to teach ourselves about who we are, we will have a sense of identity and a sense of belonging. And if we have that, nobody can hold us back as a group of people. Inadvertently, the creative industry is doing this for us. And I say this because if you look at what our movies and our music is doing now, everybody's watching Nigerian movies. When you travel, go to the Caribbean. Go to any parts of the world today where there are black people. Everybody's watching. What are we doing? We're creating a cultural awakening that we have come, and we have come to own our space. Our music is being sung all over the world. Go anywhere in the world today, Nigerian music is dominant. So if I look at what the UN projects, that by 2070, Africa will become the most populous nation on the face of the earth, it means good news to me, of course, if we're educated. But what it does mean is this, that we will probably be the greatest exporters of global talent as well as global products. And if we're exporting as opposed to consuming, which is what we're used to doing, then we create wealth for ourselves. So if we have our mindset on this, that We as a people need to begin to export. And our exportation starts from our talent. After all, if they're coming in every day to pick up talent from here, it means then that we're a bunch of talented people. And we have to constantly remind ourselves of that fact. But we need to decide. Somebody called it choice. I call it decision making. As a group of people, we need to decide who and what we want to become as a group. At 32, 20-something years ago, I decided to found Terra Culture. When I started Terra Culture, my vision was to celebrate Nigerian artists and to create a haven for art practitioners. Today, because of that simple decision, many lives, actors, dancers, musicians, superstars that you know today, they started their careers from Terra Culture because I was bold to follow my dream. We're seated in this room today because of one man's vision. One man decided that every year we're going to have a conversation about Africa and Nigeria. Look at where it has taken all of us to. Look at knowledge being conversed and ideas being shared because of one man's vision. When you birth a vision, God will bring the helpers that will help you carry it on. Today, look at the helpers in this church who have ensured that this dream lives on. Efficient and super organized team. Well done. The truth of the matter is Nigeria needs a vision. But it's not only about having a vision. It's about articulating that vision, executing that vision, and monitoring the vision to fruition. Because somebody didn't just write that on the wall. Every day you go around that city, you know that somebody is changing the narrative of their children. Somebody is changing the narrative of their people. And somebody, very carefully, is creating a new model of development for its people. It is clear to see. But more important is that Nigeria needs all of us. The vision actually comes from the people. You only nurture what you help create. That is life. If you're not part of the creation of something, you will not nurture it. Maybe that's why we are where we are. Maybe because of these artificial lines that were drawn, we don't see ourselves as one. But we have to change. We can't continue like this. In Rwanda, they're just one nation, under one country now. Nigeria has to become one, whether you're Yoruba, Igbo, or Hausa, and have a common identity, forge a vision that would work for each and every one of us as a people. So, whilst there is a lot to celebrate, there is a lot more to be done. Government, entrepreneurs, risk capital, corporates, academia, everybody has a role to play. Whilst Nigeria is sorting out itself and Africa, I have a question to each and every one of us in this room. What is your vision for yourself? Really, do you have a vision? Do you have a plan? Because a lot of us, at times, Nigeria hits us so hard that we don't even learn to plan. We just go out and let Nigeria happen. You have to have a vision, a plan for yourself on a daily basis. When you step out of your house, ask yourself, what am I going to achieve? In fact, in 2020, I had a vision. And what was that vision? COVID was hard hitting on the creative sector, you know, because we're very, you know, communal space. And things were really down for us. And I called my team. I said, we have to change our narrative and we have to change our revenue stream as an institution. With that singular vision and action, I said we need to start exporting our products. What do I sell? Movies, plays. Because of that one decision. Today, our movies are on Netflix, on Amazon, I have originals with Netflix. I am doing things that imagine if I just did not think about that vision. We've taken our place to Dubai, to Egypt, to South Africa, to London. These are things that would not exist if I did not have that vision. So the question I have for each and every one of us in this room is easy to listen to lectures. You need to go away with a thought. What is your vision for yourself? And what is your vision within the Nigerian context? For as long as we all do not buy into this vision, I'm afraid it's going to take us a long time. But I believe that there is hope for Nigeria because we have no other country. This is our home. Even if you have other passports, this is home. And may it be well with Nigeria. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for having me.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.